Yes, we have got a lot of sick people away with colds, and yeah, just need to remember them in prayer. And it's the thing. Let's open the Word of God at John 5, and we'll pray for the anointing of God on each of us. Lord, we want that. Without you, without your Holy Spirit, it's just words. But with you, you are the one who connects your word, your living word, the word of God, with the things in our lives. And we pray for that anointing. Without that touch, it is all flesh. We need you, and we ask for that. You say, whatever we ask in your name, we receive. So we believe in that. In Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 5, a man healed by the pool of Bethesda. Do you want to be made well? So after this, there was a feast of Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. Now, those in the congregation there, I set homework. Old maths teacher, so we set homework. And the homework was, find the link between "Do you want to be made well?" and cucumbers. So there is the link. Numbers 11:5. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish, which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up, and there is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." See, the Israelites had just seen the parting of the Red Sea. They had stood there terrified all night with the Egyptian army bearing down, the Red Sea in front of them. The sea had parted and they had crossed, and then they saw the sea coming back and drowning the Egyptian army. I mean, if any one of us saw that, it'd be in our diary. It would be just amazing. I remember that day. Wow. Do you remember that day, Grandpa? I sure do. Yes, I do. I was there. I can forget everything else, but I remember that day. The Israelites had been in slavery for 400 years. 400 years. So that's kind of way back from when Australia was discovered by someone or other. Okay, way back then. 400 years in slavery. But some of them did not want the new life. And so you have this link. Do you want to be made well? When Jesus asks this man, "Do you want to be made well?" It sounds like such a dumb, insulting question. Do you want to be made well? But maybe it wasn't. So far in John's Gospel, we've seen, John has explained that the Word became flesh. We would never have accepted the gospel unless this huge sacrifice, God becoming man. Then John prepares the people for the ministry of Jesus, and the Lamb of God has come to baptize with Holy Spirit. Totally new, different, wow, not just water, Holy Spirit. So there was a difference then between the Spirit and the flesh. Jesus then chooses his disciples, and he chooses the ordinary person rather than the scholar. And he attends a wedding and performs a sign that would have made people talk. I thought they ran out of wine. They did run out of wine. We had nothing. And then the good wine came. What? At the end? Yeah. There was this man there. Yeah. And he said, his mum said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And it was fantastic. It was amazing. Then he cleanses the temple. Embarrassing. And teaches a Pharisee who avoids embarrassment by coming to him by night and explains that unless a person is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not will not see, not could be tutored into seeing, whatever. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot see it. Cannot see it. Then he surprises the disciples because they're on a trip up there and he's talking to a Samaritan woman, a big no-no. But that led to the salvation of many Samaritans. Then he heals a child 30 kilometers away, rather than Elisha and Elijah having to go to the child and heal. Jesus says he's healed, but he's hours and hours and hours away. Yep, I said it, done. And now he goes to a place full of sick people, waiting for a chance to be healed in the pool. And there's a crowd of them there, all sick. And he chooses one man. And he asks him, do you want to be made well? And at first it seems like a really dumb question. You've got a multitude of sick people there. And anybody would think this is almost insulting. Of course he wants to be made well. But does he? Do Australians want to get rid of murder and violence in the community? We would say yes, yes. Every night on the news there's something new. So what about the abortion clinic in Midland? We've released a spirit of murder legalizing abortion in this land. Do we want to encourage people to respect other people's beliefs? Of course, yes, that's really good. But what about the blasphemous name of Jesus used as a swear word over and over and over in the media everywhere? Do you want to be made well? Do people want children to grow up respecting the other gender and discovering their true identity? What have we done with immorality? With divorce, with same-sex marriage, with pornography in the community? Now, the Australian Bureau of Statistics showed a 10% increase in the number of people who took their own lives between 2016 and 2017. WA recorded 15.8 deaths per 100,000 people, compared with 12.6 in the rest of the nation. People cannot accept that their self-esteem lies in the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, actually died for them. That's where the essence and the roots of the self-esteem of a person. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I can be adopted into my Father's family. This huge fact that God loves them cancels out all the other rubbish that's around. Yet the TV blasphemes Jesus over and over and over again. You know, God is asking us, do you want to be made well? After 38 years lying down in a sick and dormant state, Jesus asks this man, do you want to be made well? Jesus teaches in Matthew 13, 25, while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. We're living in a world so much like the Pool of Bethesda. Right next to the temple, there is a great multitude of sick, lame, paralyzed people, blind because they couldn't see, won't see wisdom, lame because they will not move for God, sick people because we've mixed the world with the spiritual side of life. Paralyzed. All types of things paralyze us, even as believers. But we are without excuse. And God is saying to each of us, do you want to be made well? Do you want to move from where you are? Do you want to be made well? Do you really want to be made well? Is the stuff that you are living a pretense, or do you want to be made well? Is it just a placid obedience that you go to church or whatever? Do you want to be made well? Do you think this is well? This isn't well. We sang about well. We sang about it being in the presence of the living God. One day we will stand with God, and all the stuff that we know now will be one zillionth of what we will appreciate when we stand, when we actually meet Jesus. We sang about it and sang about it and sang about it. What a great time of worship. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to move from there? Paul, writing to believers in Rome, teaches, it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. John doesn't specify what festival this is, but there was a feast. And Jesus takes the opportunity of the feast to actually mix with people on the special day. We've got to take the opportunity as often as we can get it to witness to unbelievers. The three feasts of Passover, Pentecost, harvest, of tabernacles there, God's provision in the wilderness, were there to remember God's part in the history of mankind. Our festivals, Easter and Christmas, have been disgustingly polluted with Easter bunnies and Santa. Do you want to be made well? Because we live in a place like the Pool of Bethesda, full of sick people. And Jesus was back in Jerusalem from Cana in Galilee, about a 130-kilometer hike. The sheep gate was the opening in the north wall, and sheep were brought there to be washed before they were sacrificed. Bethesda means house of mercy. And some texts omit the end of verse 3 and 4. For centuries, mineral springs have been thought to have healing qualities, and even today. An explanation given for the troubling of the waters is that there was some existence of a subterranean stream beneath the pool which caused the waters to bubble up occasionally. However, that doesn't discount the activity of an angel. An angel could have been responsible for the bubbling up of the waters. Science must not be allowed to overrule the Spirit. One lesson that we take from the passage is that there are consequences to our choices. Sometimes our sinful behavior is the cause of poor health. At the end of this passage, Jesus tells the man, "See, you've been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Now, there are rules to our health. And the Israelites actually followed these rules incredibly, and the other nations actually didn't. And even today, we have these rules which seem like common sense to a Western society, which aren't followed. Things like going outside the camp for the toilet and burying the poo. Okay, there was this incredible thing on Google on the 9th of October 2012. A 32-year-old man downed dozens of roaches and worms to win a python at a Florida reptile store. And then he collapsed and died minutes later. I mean, there are rules about health. You just don't swallow roaches and worms, because who knows what's in there. You'd think that was common sense, but no, apparently it wasn't. So we learn that there are different causes to sicknesses. All sickness and death are a result of the fall. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered in the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So we had the collapse of the whole of creation at the fall. The Bible teaches there are consequences for how we care for our body. Drugs, immorality, addictions, living in the flesh are all self-destructing. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Do we take this seriously? So you are the temple of God. You are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. There are unbelievers out there who look at you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Wow. For some people, the sickness is not their fault. We read in John 9, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. So sometimes it's there. We saw in John 4 that the nobleman's son was sick so that salvation could actually come to the whole household. So God used that. The Bible encourages the position of medical practitioners. So in Genesis, there a midwife is present when Tamar gives birth to twins. In Matthew 9, Jesus approves physicians for sick people. Those who are well have no need for a physician, those who are sick. However, sorcery is one of the works of the flesh, and it's forbidden. Demons do persecute people with infirmity. We've got a couple of examples here. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. You have the authority to cast out demons. Do it. Luke 13. Now he was teaching in one of those synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. So sometimes there is demonic interference with us. God can use our sickness to enrich our walk with him. As we suffer in sickness, we are much more able to console others. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, so you're in the tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. So because you've walked through it, you have the experience and the knowledge and the empathy to be able to comfort others, with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Of course, sickness and death can come from God. So it was in the morning when the wine had gone from Nabal and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him and he became like a stone. Then it happened after about 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal and he died. So it can be from God. Death, of course, comes with old age, and God takes us home. And home, shalom, is perfect healing. So whatever we experience on earth, if we are believers, when we are with God, that is absolute healing. That is perfection. Elisha had become sick with the illness with which he would die. Okay, sickness can come from those who do not take communion correctly. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So if we live a life where we no longer appreciate the things about communion, that Jesus broke his body for us, and in like manner we break our body, we break our life, we break the normal things of our life, and we say, no, you first, Lord. I was going to go there, but yep, you want me to go there? Okay, first. And that we accept the forgiveness and the washing that comes from the blood of Jesus, if we forget that. If we forget that we are totally cleansed, then we allow Satan to beat us with guilt, saying, you're no good, look what you did, look what you did, you're no good. And you go, we've got to be able to stand and say, no, I am washed by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. So good. Unrepentant sin leads to sickness. We cannot just cover up our guilt. Our soul is tied to our health. Paul talks about this person who refuses to repent in 1 Corinthians 5. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. In this case, sickness will actually hamper evil practices. You know, our aim is that people unite with God. And if prosperity, if friendships, if tools, if devices, if way of life, if profession, all of those things are turning a person away from God, then they are a curse by definition. Because what are they doing? They're turning people away from God. And we need to cancel them. The comment by Jesus at Bethesda doesn't seem to have sympathy. The man's been sick for 38 years, but correction and truth override that. What was of paramount importance was that the man learned that the healing would disappear if he continued in sin. So the healing was not just a sign, it was a step towards salvation. So often, you know, when we pray for healing, we pray for solutions to financial problems, we pray for relational problems in there, we miss the point. Because what do we want when we're praying for this financial hassle that someone's in? Do we want money there to solve that, but they still end up going to hell? Our focus is, do you want to be made well? Isn't do you want to be made well for tomorrow? It's do you want to be made well for eternity? Because that's what counts. Do you want to be made well, really well, to stand in the presence of God and worship Him with your whole heart? Do you want to be made well? And people, we are so much like that. Sometimes we don't want to move. It makes no sense to pray for healing or prosperity if the person is going to spend eternity in hell. What is also interesting is that we are told that there was a great multitude of sick people at the pool. It would have had a stench, but Jesus chose to go there. And He chose just one person to save. So we learn. There are places maybe that you don't want to go to. But when you listen to the Spirit of God and He says, go, you go. Obedience must overrule your preferred choice. Secondly, God has chosen people to be healed and to be touched by you. God has put in your life, in your thoughts, even right now, the person that you must pray for and intercede. Isn't that right? God has put a burden on your heart like a rock there, saying, pray for this person, pray for this person, pray for this person. Yes, there is a multitude all around, but this one person God has put on your heart, and you have to pray for them because you are the door. You are the child of God. You are the vessel. You are the one who can speak out of your own experience and saying, I cannot live without God. Jesus could have healed the whole crowd, the whole multitude in one hit. But He looks for winning souls. He wasn't there to thrill the crowd. And so too, we aim at spiritual outcomes for our prayers and prayerful actions. You know, Jesus teaches in Matthew 26. Matthew 16. Try that. For what profit is it to a man who, if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Out of all the people present, this helpless man was chosen. And this account is written to encourage us when we are hit by utter helplessness and hopelessness. Jesus comes and says, do you want to be made well? Do you want to get out of the pickle that you're in? Do you want to be made well? But Lord, I've been like this for years. Lord, it's my family, it's my DNA, it's my money, it's my job, it's my friendship, it's my hobbies, it's my inability to do these things, it's all of these things. And Jesus says, do you want to be made well? Because wellness isn't just this thing, just prosperity and health. Wellness is standing in the presence of God for eternity. It's being saved by God. It is knowing the fullness of all of that. We may have made decisions to follow Christ, but have we continued on it? There are many people who don't like the condition they're in, yet they refuse to attack the cause. And this guy comes up with a plausible explanation. I have no man to put me in the pool. Many people would prefer to remain in their previous state of hopelessness. So salvation comes with a new cost, where we live for God. And Jesus asks people today, do you want to be made well? physically, emotionally, financially, in the family, with the neighbor, in your marriage, at work with the boss, do you want to be made well? Because the spiritual side will override and include everything that we have on earth. It'll light it up. It is a new dimension. Like this man then, we need to stop looking for bubbles in the pool and work on our relationship with Jesus. The man obeys and picks up the mat and walks. I mean, you miss it. You miss it in that sentence. You miss it. You miss it unless you're lying there on the ground and you've got this stranger saying, get up, pick up the mat and get out, walk. But I haven't walked for 38 years. Somewhere there's this line, isn't there? There's this line you've got to cross. There's this line where you've got to actually move something, where you've got to just move and, my gosh, I could get up. My gosh, I can pick up the mat. My gosh, my leg can actually go out. Oh my goodness, I can actually walk. Whatever the pickle is that we are in, he has walked away from his old life. People can see him walk. And Jesus asks us, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made well? Is there a self-imposed impediment in your life that needs to be faced? Are we putting off completely dedicating our life for God with some excuse? As soon as I get some money, Lord, I can do this. As soon as I get another job, Lord, I can do this. As soon as the kids leave, yeah, then we can do this. As soon as summer comes, yeah. There'll always be some excuse why we don't want to get off the ground, pick up the mat and walk. The first law of productivity is get started. Jesus doesn't help the man get in the water. I haven't got a man to put me in the water. Well, I'm not the one. He tells him, get up and walk. Walk away from the past life. Don't leave anything behind. Follow Jesus today. You have this incredible verse. The Bible is full of incredible verses. Stupid statement. But anyway, yes, you have this. Oh, well, not too stupid. They're all incredible, so I'm still right. Yes, good. Okay. Luke 2:49. Yeah, there it is. Did you not know this is Jesus, the 12-year-old boy? The 12-year-old boy. And parents are just hassled out of their brains because they thought that he was in with so-and-so, you know. But I thought you were with Brian and Ruth. No, I wasn't with them. I thought you were with Rob and Kath. No. Just, no. And he answers and says, did you not know I must be about my father's business? You see, do you want to be made well? This boy, this 12-year-old boy, is totally focused. Totally focused. Didn't you get it? I'm totally focused, which means that somewhere way before the 12-year-old, somewhere he'd got it. Somewhere he'd got the fact that, yep, wellness is being with God. I have to do God's business. I'm here for God. All the other stuff, all the carpentry and everything that I have to do is all peripheral stuff, but I have to do God's business. That's what being well is all about, isn't it? It is doing everything for God. Not just sitting in complacency. Do you want to be made well? Yep. Let's just pray for a moment. And I wanted you to pray. Yep, I'll just lead you in prayer and let's go for it. Lord, I would ask that you bring to our minds the things that are stopping our growth right now. And whatever it is that God has put in your mind, I ask for you to make a prayer to God and say, Lord, I want to move with you. I want to be made well. I want to grow. I want to score for you. However old I am, I want to score for you. Now, will you pray for the person next to you? Pray for that person.